You see, I'm speaking about preparation, speaking about exposing yourself to the greatness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you allow those issues in life to die that need to die, but then you prepared for the impossible in your life.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, March 1st, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Preparing Our Hearts for Easter, and our text comes to us from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
This is the beginning of the month of March, and we're entering our Easter season. Easter is a very special time when we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'd like for us through this next few Sundays to approach Easter in a special way. Our text this morning, it takes us to the resurrection text, and it's on Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. And it will appear. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, gee, they were early risers, huh? Okay. Very early in the morning, very early in the morning. Not just early, but very early in the morning. I'm not much biblical person here. Very early. Very early in the morning, the women, I'm not a woman. So the women have a priority here in this text. It says, took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Talk about not getting up in the morning early. In the fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary, mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to him what had happened. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Needless to say, the first Easter was unexpected. That first Easter was quite a confusion in the lives of those who follow the Lord. It was not a scheduled event. It was not anticipated with any kind of confidence. Easter was not met with an applause. It was met with, as I said, with confusion. When the women came to the tomb, they were not expecting the resurrection of anybody. They were carrying spices to continue to embalm the body. When Peter ran, he ran in disbelief. What in the world happened here? Mary Magdalene, she saw the risen Savior, and yet she thought he was the gardener. Three times at least, Jesus had said while he was alive before the resurrection that he would rise again. He told them plainly what was going to happen. But when it happened, it was too great to process. Too glorious to assume it was so. Too powerful to imagine. Too transforming to grasp. The first Easter was unbelievable. Not so much because it lacked evidence, but because it exceeded all expectation. All the teachings of Jesus, all he said, yet this really just could not be believed. Here is the tension. They were told what was going to happen, and yet they were not prepared. Let me ask you, are you prepared to do in the life in your life what Jesus can only do for you? Are you prepared to accept the blessings of the resurrection? Are you prepared for him to do what he said he would do in your life? They were unprepared, and yet they believed Jesus, and yet they followed him. I mean, the disciples left everything to follow him, but they had not understood that the resurrection was going to be a personal destiny, a personal confrontation with life and death. When Jesus spoke about what he was going to do, they thought he was speaking in political terms. You know how that goes. Are you aware of politics today? Who isn't? Well, they thought he was going to establish a political kingdom. They understood Messiah in concept of national terms. And they understood that Jesus was coming with visible glory, visible triumph. Down with the Romans who have taken this land. Now it's going to be ours. Resurrection, however, required something brand new in their thinking. Resurrection required that death was different for Jesus. They needed to re-understand the categories of what death was. And sometimes God fulfills his presence and your promises in your life in ways that shattered all your frameworks. The fact that he died, for them, it was the end. They needed to reconfigure the meaning of death. They needed to think through why this has happened. And that's the first lesson for all of us. Sometimes we're unprepared to accept something dying for the glory to be revealed. And sometimes things are dying in us so that glory can come. Sometimes we secretly believe that we are not meant for a transformation, for a change, for a new me. We're stuck. Our concept don't change. We're stuck somewhere. We don't really appreciate the power of the resurrection in our lives. That is more than just a nice story. It is something that gives us a new identity in the Lord. Well, we live on this side of history, and we're not like the first disciples, are we? We're not, because we have the testimony of Scripture. We know the story. We know how it happened. We have over 2,000 years of witnesses as to the power and the presence of the resurrection of Christ. You and I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have the church where we gather because of the resurrection. And we proclaim, he is risen, and you're going to hear that song through this month and in the months to come. You say, he is risen, he is risen. But here is a deeper question as we enter this holy season. Are we prepared for what the resurrection actually does in our lives? Are we willing to accept the resurrection in our lives? Because the resurrection rearranges reality. It's not just an event. It's God working in you and allowing you to see life with different lenses. See, Christ is risen. And because Christ is risen, death does not define us. Shame does not imprison us. Empire has its own history, does not own our history. And sin does not have the final word in our lives. The mistakes that you make, the issues that you're facing, the question marks, they are secondary to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Because resurrection is not just information about something that happened so many years ago. It's an invasion into your life that you may have the life of God in you. So when you understand what the resurrection is about, and we'll be talking about this all month, it's an invasion into you, an invasion into your personal life, hopefully, more than just your intellectual life, but all about you. it invades your fear. For the resurrection, Jesus rose from the dead. Death has lost its power. Yes, it invades your cynicism. Because we have a lot of Christians today that are cynics. And we say, well, yeah, of course, yeah, you believe that. Yeah, we sing that song, but it's not real to me. No, there is a reality in your life when you appreciate that the resurrection is the last word of God towards you or towards me. It invades compromising your life. How dare you think that God is less than your thoughts? The Lord comes to you, comes to me, and shows us how he can change everything around us. We don't need to compromise our faith. But what I like about it more is that the resurrection invades the small expectations we have about ourselves, about our marriage, about our life, about our parents, about our grandchildren, about me. Small expectations. But with Christ risen from the grave, all bets are off. Everything is possible. I have come that you may have life, and you may have it more abundantly. And here we are, beggars for life. Okay. Jeff will preach next Sunday, so it's okay. But in this month, this season, you and I need to slow down just a little bit. And we need to, before we proclaim Jesus rose from the dead, before that celebration, before the music, before we could proclaim, you and I need to ponder just a little bit. Need to ponder a little bit about the death of Jesus Christ, his burial, his resurrection, which Paul says is the crux of the gospel. Not in a sentimental way, not in a ceremonial, ritualistic way, but personally. What does it mean, the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's a season more than just a page in the calendar, my brother and my sister. It's an invitation to examine the center of your faith, the center of my faith, the center of what it means to be a Christian with a risen Savior. This is not a dead religion. It's a live relationship which requires your attention. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What does his death on the cross expose in me? What does his burial silence in me? What does the resurrection awaken in me? It's a season for an overhaul. Okay, would you turn and tell somebody I need an overhaul, please, because you... We need an overhaul to recalibrate, rethink, replan, have a brand new beginning in our hearts. So we need to do a reflection of our lives. When we don't do that, if we rush through Easter season and we pass reflection like nothing, we risk, this is so true, becoming familiar with the glory without being transformed by the glory of God. You know, it doesn't happen every day because it's not supposed to, but once in a while, you need to be dazzled by the presence of God in your life. You need to be shaken up a little bit. It's more than just coming to church on Sunday morning or reading your Bible. It's God shocking you. It's God just altering your day. It's just like a slap in the face, a nice one. Where all of a sudden, God is here. God is at work in my life. There's nothing difficult or impossible for God to do. All of a sudden, you need to say, this is not an ordinary day. This is a very special day. God smacked me. Please understand. So how do we as disciples, as Christians, believers, prepare for this Easter season? Well, first of all, let me just tell you that the disciples, as I said, were unprepared for the resurrection. They were. They heard Jesus say things, and they heard it, and yeah. And so when Jesus is ready to go to Jerusalem, Peter says, don't do that because they're going to kill you. Jesus started to say, didn't I tell you I have to die so that I can raise from the dead? Well, how do we prepare now? How do you and I prepare for the resurrection? How can we not be unprepared? Because when you prepare for this event, a calendar event and a personal event, you actually expose yourself to be utterly transformed again. We go from glory to glory, the scripture says. We go from one moment to the other moment, and we experience God's presence differently. I experience God's presence in my life today differently than I did 20 years ago. Because life is different. Because I'm not the same. I'm evolving. All of us are evolving. You are evolving. You're moving on with life. You know, you think you're the same, but you know, some things we are, but basically we have an opportunity to be transformed, and we are being transformed. Every single day we are a new person. Well, the first way that I want you to prepare through this month is letting Friday do the work that it needs to do in your life. You know, there is no resurrection unless there's first a crucifixion. So preparation for Easter means surrender to the Lord. You know, I was saying that to myself the other day. Gee, I don't want to do this. Why? Because I don't want to do it. Figure of speech. But the Lord says, well, if you don't surrender, if you don't die to that, you'll never have a resurrection. You'll never have a new day. And some of us are stuck because we don't allow Friday to do its work. What in me must die? I don't want to keep preaching this sermon. I'm going to go home. Sit. I'm done. You know what I'm saying. What ambitions must I crucify? I'm talking about going deep inside of your heart and ask you, what fear has to be nailed to the cross? That's why we should not rush to Sunday when we haven't died. This is called introspection. We walk to resurrection through Friday. And following the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to participate in Friday before we can get to Sunday. Paul said, I die daily. So this is nothing new here. So I guess it would be a good idea if you start identifying the things that you need to die to. I said, things that I might die, ambitions that need to be crucified, fears that need to be nailed to the cross. The last couple of weeks, I've gone through all of this. It's been tough. Not because I'm a terrible, wicked sinner. It's just because I'm a terrible, wicked sinner. We all sin. The sin issue has been dealt with. The Lord forgave all my sins. But it's processing what that forgiveness is that it reveals in me the things that I need to discard, that I'm still carrying without even knowing. The Lord opens my eyes to see things. So I need to die to things. I need to crucify certain ambitions and, oh my goodness, and fear. Oh my goodness. The older I get, the more that I know I need to surrender things that are fearful. Yeah. Well, so Number one, let us prepare by allowing Friday to do his work. Secondly, I think we need to prepare by expecting the impossible from God. You know, the disciples expected the decay of Jesus in the tomb. He was dead. And you know, when you really die to things you think is never coming back to life, it never really does. Something new comes out of that. God brought forth the body of Christ with life. With life. See, we have a concept called sanctification. And some people say it's going to go through a class here, but just hold on. It's called positional sanctification, that when Christ died for you, you were immediately sanctified forever, which is true. But then there's a second part of sanctification, meaning separation from the world and sin and all that. It's called progressive sanctification, where every single day you progress towards the moment in life when you no longer sin, and that's total sanctification. That's when you die and go to Jesus. But see, we have made a mistake here, in my view, is because when God brings life to you, He doesn't do it in a gradual way. It's not gradual improvement in your life. Life comes to you with its all power and strength to do what you never thought He could do for you. He lays it before you. He shows you what you have to do and not do. He shows you a path. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for He is with me. He restores my soul. Read the 23rd Psalm and see the manifesto of God for you and for me. So we often expect gradual improvement and manageable change and reasonable hope. But I want you to throw all that away, because the resurrection is not incremental. It's an explosion in your life. It explodes in your life. What's wrong here? Yo creo que estoy predicando un montón de bautistas que están más curtidos. Y lo digo con que sí. Pero Danilo por lo menos se mueve. De aquí puedo ver en los ojos, pero el resto de ustedes parece que fue un funeral. Peor que un funeral. That's okay. That's what you call speaking in tongues. Do I hear an interpretation, you know? But see, I'm talking about this explosiveness of Christ in you, the hope of glory, where you're shaken up. Not mellow, wet noodle Christianity. The resurrection was not incremental, it was explosive. And I want you to prepare your heart. I want you to widen the expectations of what God can do for you and in you as never before. For God, all things are possible. What does all exclude? Nothing. 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 So preparation for Easter means widening your expectation and my expectation. So I'm asking you to let Friday do its work, but also prepare for the resurrection that will transform you. Do you really believe that the Lord can restore? Some of us live like we're done. Like it's the end. No, but What do you need the Lord to do for you? He can restore. Yes, He can. And I know it's difficult for me to even say it out here, but God can even revive you. Would you tell the person next to you, I'm revival material, will you please? Because did you know that God can call you to ministry? God can speak to you and say, do this for my glory? Did you know God is capable of doing that? Do you really think God intends for you to be a pew warmer? Is that your ministry, to sit there? Well, you fulfill your ministry. I'm sure you're excited. You see, the disciples were shocked, because the only thing they were prepared for, or what they had settled for, was survival at best. And some of us have a survival Christianity mentality. You're happy with doing nothing. How many are happy by doing nothing? At least you did not answer. Thank God. You see, I'm speaking about preparation. Speaking about exposing yourself to the greatness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you allow those issues in life to die that need to die. But then you prepared for the impossible in your life, where you make room for God to work in your life, because resurrection calls us beyond survival. It calls us to new creation. In Christ, we're a new creation. See, God can create and does create new things in you. He does not have to just simply work with what you got right now. Let me tell you, he's got tons of life he can pour into you. You must be ready for it, and you must want it. You must expect it. Again, the disciples were shocked because they had settled for survival at best. Third thing, if I were to ask you, what is the first thing? You must say, I have to let Friday do his job. The second thing, I need to prepare for the impossible. And the third thing is, we need to prepare by living as people with a future. Because see, the resurrection is the future breaking into the present. What God intends for us to be eternally, he brings to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you and I today can prepare by living now as if death has already lost, because death has lost. And every stinking thing about your life is done away with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I said stinking. You heard me that? Stinking. Everybody say stinking. Some of you don't even mean it. There's something about God working in your life that surpasses understanding. It just goes beyond it. Not because we're dumb, but because it's beyond the reach of our mind. Categories that need to be studied and processed. For example, forgiving before we feel justified. How about serving without applause? Oh, that's a good one today. Let me translate that. Serving without seeing yourself in Facebook. Did that hit home? The silence today is utterly amazing. I think we're still on Friday. How about speaking truth with love? This is the one you expected, of course, under this litany of sermons here. Loving when it costs you something. Do you know why this is important and why we need to live that way? Because the resurrection already has guaranteed the outcome of everything you do for the glory of God. You can do all these things because Christ empowers you to do them, even when you don't, quote, feel it. You do it because the Lord demands you and calls you and shows you how to do it. So we don't live towards victory. We don't walk towards victory. We live in victory. So I'm going to conclude, because otherwise we really have to pray for the resurrection here. The great question. Here is the core of everything I've been trying to say today. Are we ready for a resurrection that will undo the life that we're now protecting? What life are you protecting? What are you guarding? Where are you afraid to let go? Whew. You see, you got to let go, because Easter does not improve your life. It replaces it. See, you're still dealing with categories of, if I do this, if I do that. No, the Lord has to do that. The Lord is the one that enters into your life stream. He is the one that pumps new blood and new strength. He is the one that rearranges the categories in your life. Easter does not improve your old life. It replaces it. You're not trying to be a better person in the sense of using material that's been condemned and is no longer working. You know, when Christ met his disciples, the risen Christ met the disciples, nothing stayed the same. And you need to know that the moment you come to the living Christ, nothing stays the same. It may take time, but nothing stays the same. Peter, you remember Peter? He was a disgrace. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. He cursed Jesus in the name of Jesus. I mean, Jesus, just read a little bit. He's the guy who was walking on water a couple of Sundays ago. You heard the sermon. Good. But after the resurrection, Jesus restores him. Peter restores life. No matter where you've been, resurrection life will restore you. Peter was restored. Thomas was confronted. He had a bunch of doubts. And yet Jesus confronted him and said, hey, put your hand on the side and on my hands. Which, by the way, I shouldn't say this, but Jesus didn't say, put your hand on my feet. Because in those days, though we have nails in Jesus' feet, Jesus was never nailed. He was tied. But that's another question altogether. See, I just threw you completely off. Best to show you how much I know. Jesus, Thomas confronted. Mary, what happened to Mary? A woman, first century. Do you know what a woman in the first century was to the world? Nothing. I hate to tell you that, but women were not valued. They were not. They were not. Jesus commissions her. Commissioned by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mary, go and tell them. It's the commissioning of Mary. Come on. Mary could be commissioned, all of us can be commissioned. All of us, there's hope for all of us. Jesus transcends culture, norms, ideas. And then all of the disciples, they were so fearful, they all became witnesses. Jesus rearranged identity. You're no longer what the world says, even what you think about yourself. You are whom God says you are. And that's a big difference. And he still does that in your life and my life. Final exhortation. This is it. I'm really going to quit. I got to do it. Brother Daniel is giving me the look. Okay. The first Easter overwhelmed the disciples. But I tell you how it overwhelmed them. It was too much grace. Too much grace. It was too much glory. It was too much hope. It was unbelievable. It was shocking. It was overwhelming. It was insurmountable. It was just unbelievable. You run out of adjectives. You just can't describe what happened. It's taking us over 2,000 years to really understand what happened, and we still don't really know all that happened. We now stand on this side of history. We know the story. We preach the story. We sing the story. But are we prepared to receive it for ourselves? Are you and I ready for the death of self-reliance? I can do all things with me. Are we ready to bury the old loyalties of our carnal flesh? Are we ready to rise to new obedience in following the Lord? And somebody said that Easter is very nostalgic. No. Easter is an invitation. The risen Jesus will ask you and me, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you seeking God in those paths that have led you to death? Why do you go back into those corridors, those aisles in your life, in your mind, thinking that if you go back that way, maybe we'll be better again? And it's always a dead end. Don't go back to the path that have not worked. Don't look for Christ among the dead. Your old dead ways of doing things, the ways that have never proven to be true, the ways in which you always fail, the days that you've always felt disappointed in. So let's approach Easter with a brand new concept, not as spectators of a great miracle, but as disciples of Christ, ready to be transformed by his power. Ready to accept that which we know is available, but we, for whatever reasons, we haven't stepped in there. You and I need to let Friday expose us with all of the fears and all of the things that are wrong. Let Saturday quiet us and let Sunday undo us. There's something about Easter. There's something about the resurrection that makes us totally new. So, in conclusion, for the third time, as we approach Easter, let's just not prepare ourselves just for a service on Sunday morning. Let us prepare our hearts. Meditate on the fact that the cross has to confront us, that the tomb has to humble us, and that resurrection needs to refine us, redefine us. So I'm laying a whole bunch of stuff for you this morning. But let this month of March and beginning of April be a season for holy pondering. Linger at Golgotha. Linger. Stay there. Look at the things in your life that need to be put away, that need to die. They're going to die. And then Saturday, a silence. Let that silence in the presence of God, let it be in the tomb. Que se muera ahí en la tumba. Cochina vida que queremos proteger. Petulantes que somos. And then we need to stand at all before that empty grave. All my sins are forgiven. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now I get to live for the one who died for me. I get to enjoy life as never before. The power of the resurrection. This Easter, we need to not just celebrate an empty tomb. We need to step out of our own tomb and live for the glory of God in Jesus' name. I got to hear an amen. Amen. Okay, first this side.
Amen.
This side.
Amen.
This side got it. Lord, we thank you. For we know, Lord, that this is a time in our lives where we often wonder what is the meaning of what you did for us some many years ago. And sometimes we forget, Lord, the blessings and the greatness of your presence in your life. And I pray that this morning, Lord, as we even partake communion, Lord, that you would minister to us the resurrection, the life that changes everything, the life that just undoes the things that we pretended to be from you, but it's not. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would minister our life and health. In Jesus' name, amen, Lord, and amen. Amen. We're going to have a wonderful month of March. Oh, I could just see it in your faces. You all look like you're ready to go to the grave. All right, church, this is the day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.